How I love your word, how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Father, I just want to pray for Debbie as she preaches to us. I pray firstly that our hearts will be really open. Thank you for the movement of the Spirit that faith saw amongst us. And I just prepare that our hearts will be open, our spirits will be open, also every part of it will be open to hear what you want to speak into our lives at this moment. And I pray for Debbie that she will be completely released in all that she's doing, released through the power of your Spirit. Amen.
What an amazing morning. And what a wonderful story that David has just read to us from Luke chapter 24. And really, I want to start what I'm going to share this morning just by asking us a question. Are you ready to meet with the resurrected Jesus today? Are you ready? Maybe you already have been as we've been worshiping, as we've been opening our hearts to him. But are you ready? Because right at the heart of this story, in verse 6, when David just read it, there is this incredible statement made by the two angels who are standing outside the open, empty tomb of Jesus. And they say to those women who came looking for him, "He is not here, he has risen. He's not here, he has risen." And as I was thinking about the story this morning, I was struck by how the women that we read about, they nearly missed meeting with Jesus himself. Later on in the passage that we haven't read, we find that they do encounter Jesus. But in this part of the story, they nearly miss meeting with him. And it's because of various reactions, various things that are going on inside of their hearts and inside of their minds. They're full of stuff inside. And I wonder if some of us feel a bit like that this morning. There's a lot of things going on in our minds, in our hearts. I wonder if we could miss meeting with Jesus because of what's going on inside of us today. So I want us just to think for a few minutes this morning about some of the different things those women were experiencing in this story. They kind of come out in the verses as we go along. And first of all, in verse 1, it tells us that the women were bringing spices to the tomb of Jesus so that they could anoint Jesus' body. And in their grief and in their sorrow at his death, they were responding as though Jesus was just another human being, like anybody else. Because when human beings die, they stay dead, don't they? And their bodies start to rot and decay. And so these women came with their spices to embalm the body of Jesus, as though Jesus was just like anyone else that they had ever lost or ever buried. And I was thinking how many people still make the same kind of mistake today. They come looking for Jesus as though he was just a man. Perhaps a good man, we might think, or even a great man, a great moral teacher, but still just a man, just a human being. And I remember once, back in the day when I was at university and I was leading the Christian Union at the time, we held an event where people could come and gather and they could ask any question they liked about God, life, the universe, Christianity, everything, to a panel of Christians, and we would do our best. We were just students. We would do our best to answer people's questions about those things. And I was on this panel for this event, and I remember there was this one guy who was listening for a long time to all the questions that were being asked and the answers that we were giving. And then after a while, he piped up and he said, "I still don't see in all that you're saying, I don't see how Christianity is any different really from humanist philosophies. Because wasn't Jesus just a great humanist philosopher? Doesn't he really just show us all how to live a really good life in a moral and an ethical kind of way?" And I thought about what he'd said, and I thought about the answers that we had been giving as people were asking their questions that day. And in the end, I said to him, "Well, I think in many ways as human beings, we'd all like to think that, wouldn't we? We human beings would love to think that we could come up with a way to live well in this world, and to heal all the broken relationships, and to solve all the problems, and to end all the wars, and to sort everything out. We would like to think that we could come up with a way to live like that, to be good like that. But the truth is," I remember saying to him, "the truth is that there is no one, there has been no one before Jesus or since, who has ever lived a life as good as his. The kind of life that prays, the Bible tells us, that prays for those who were driving the nails into his hands as he died on the cross. And prays, 'Father God, forgive these people, because they don't really know what they're doing.' As they inflicted that kind of pain, so undeserved for Jesus, he could pray like that. He could forgive like that. The kind of life that is so full and so free that we see in Jesus, that even death itself can't hold on to it for very long, and it comes bursting up into a resurrection like we're celebrating today." And I said to him, "We need more than just a human being to show us that kind of life, don't we? We need more than just a good man. We need God himself, the one who created life in the first place and gave it to us. We need him to come and show us how to live it, and then to give to us, to release to us the power so that we can live it too. We need God, not just a man." And that's who Jesus was, more than just a man. He was God himself. And the lovely thing is that it was many years later, actually, after we'd all graduated and moved on, but I found out that that guy himself became a follower of Jesus years later on. But I was thinking, let's not this morning, wherever we're at in our understanding and our relationship with Jesus, let's not make the mistake of thinking that Jesus was just a man, or thinking of him as just a man, because if we do, we might miss what he wants to pour out into our lives today. We might miss what the Holy Spirit was seeking to offer us in that beautiful picture that Faith shared. Secondly, in verse 4, it says that the women were perplexed. something else that was going on inside of them. The word in my Bible, it says they were perplexed or confused. They were confused and they couldn't understand what was going on in front of them. Because when they came to the tomb looking for Jesus, they didn't find what they were expecting to find. And sometimes confusion and unanswered questions and preconceived ideas and even misconceptions about who Jesus is, these things going on inside of us, they can get in the way of us encountering with him. Even those of us who would say we are Christians, we are following him, sometimes there is confusion and misunderstanding in our hearts and minds, and it gets in the way of a true encounter with Jesus. I have a friend who was brought up in really quite a religious environment, and she went to a Christian school, but she never actually became a Christian herself as she was growing up, because she found that lots of what she was hearing around her didn't always make sense. It didn't always add up for her. And she found it confusing. She found the Bible confusing. She found the way that Christians behaved sometimes confusing. And she couldn't always make sense of it. But whenever she tried to ask the people around her at the time, she would often just get a kind of answer that said, well, these things are meant to be a mystery. You know, the great mystery of faith. Or that's what faith is about. You don't need to understand it, just believe it. And the thing was, that wasn't good enough for her. She was confused, perplexed, and that filled her thinking, and it got in the way of her forming a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was only as she became an adult that she met some Christians who actually had a real relationship with Jesus for themselves. And then she discovered that she could ask her questions and actually find some answers. That there really were answers to the things that she was turning over in her mind. That the truth about Jesus really did make sense. That it could be rationally understood. That it could form a foundation for her decisions and her choices. And so she would come, and very often there was a period of time where she would come and stay at my house most weekends, and we would sit up half the night. It was before I was married and had my children, you know, so we could do these things. But we would sit up half the night and we would talk, and she would ask me all of her questions, and I would try to answer them, and I would try to show her in the Bible where I had found some of those answers. And slowly but surely, it took a long time. There were a lot of questions to be answered, but slowly and surely the confusion cleared out, and eventually she met the living Jesus for herself. Not that kind of religious stained glass window sort of version of Jesus that she had tried to understand before, but she met the real and living and resurrected Jesus. And so I want to say to some of us this morning, if we're confused or perplexed, if we've got questions going on in our hearts and minds, they're filling our inner thoughts, let's ask our questions. Let's find somebody who's been following Jesus for a while and talk to them. There's lots of people here you could talk to like that. Come and speak to me if you want to at the end of this meeting about joining in with our special discipleship venture that we're doing at the moment here in church, so that we can look at God's word, we can find some answers, we can get the fog lifted, so that we can truly encounter Jesus and know him in that living way that we've been hearing about from Smita, from Alex, from others this morning. Thirdly, in verse 5, it actually says that these women were terrified. So they had some thoughts about Jesus, that he was just a man, or expecting him to be. They were perplexed, but then it says they were actually terrified. They were scared. Because, understandably, we can forgive them for feeling scared. I'm sure most of us would have been, because two angels in dazzling white clothes, it said, had appeared to them. And suddenly, in the course of their very ordinary and very earthbound lives, something supernatural took place. Something supernatural broke in into their natural circumstances. And it made them feel fearful. It made them afraid. And that's the thing, isn't it, about a living God, about a resurrected Jesus who is alive today and moving in our lives. He doesn't just stay still and silent up in the clouds somewhere, or like some kind of marble statue God that doesn't really move or talk or do much. He gets up close and personal. That's who Jesus is. He impacts us. He moves us in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our circumstances. He is moving by the power of his Holy Spirit. And sometimes that can feel to us a bit daunting, can't it? It can feel a bit scary. I knew a young man who was part of our youth group a while back now, who would always shut down whenever we prayed in our youth meetings. He was always fine when we were reading the Bible, when we were having discussion time, when we were playing games, or when we were just talking about Jesus. But as soon as we were going to pray, he would get very uncomfortable and then he would sort of refuse to engage. And I remember once when we were alone, I asked him about it, and he told me that actually he had watched something on YouTube a while ago when he was a bit younger. And it was all about people who were having supernatural experiences of different kinds. And he had been very terrified as he had watched them. Most of these experiences that were being kind of documented, I suppose, were very dark and very frightening and very oppressive experiences. And he had been terrified as he watched them. And then after that, he himself, he started having his own kind of spiritual experiences at nighttime. And sometimes he would feel a dark presence, he told me, coming into his room and things like that. And he told me that the whole thing had just made him so scared of anything to do with the supernatural, of anything to do with the spiritual realms. And I was able to talk to him, and I was able just to share with him and say to him, you know, that the Holy Spirit is not like that. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And he's not dark or oppressive or frightening. He's called the Comforter in God's word. He's called the Counselor. He's the one that comes alongside us. He's gentle. He's pure like a dove. The scriptures picture him. That's the kind of spirit that Jesus moves in our lives with. And we don't have to be fearful of his presence. We don't have to be fearful of him reaching to touch our lives. We can receive him. And actually, when the Holy Spirit fills our lives, he gives us the authority and the power to resist some of those evil spirits, those evil experiences, like the ones that this young man had been having. The things that try to control our lives through fear and fill us with fear. Because Jesus shows us that we don't have to try. In fact, we're not meant to try and engage in the supernatural world without first coming to him, without first meeting the resurrected Jesus, because he is the one who has been through death and gone right down into the very depths of Hades and has talked to all the spirits in Hades, it says, and then he has risen up right through the heavens in his ascension, and it says Jesus is the one who sits on the throne far and above every other kind of rule or authority or power or spiritual authority in the heavenly places, and he is the one who sits on the throne who will show us how we can live in God's world, in God's way. So that we're not people who are just focused on the material things and never open our eyes to spiritual truths, but also we're not people who are pushed around and oppressed by the spiritual forces of darkness that are around us, but rather we can walk as human beings who are filled with his Holy Spirit and empowered to live a life that is less ordinary, a life that sees the supernatural, beautiful work of God flowing in healing, in wholeness, in forgiveness, in freedom, in salvation, in transformation, in breakthrough, in all kinds of beautiful ways that the Lord wants to do. That's who we can be if we will open our hearts and receive his Holy Spirit. And we don't need to be afraid of him. But you know, sometimes that fear we can experience, maybe it's really that we're scared, not just of supernatural things, but sometimes that fear is that we're scared of the difference that Jesus might make to our lives. And we've been hearing about that a bit. Smita mentioned that in her testimony, the fear of what it might mean, the fear of what it did mean when she put her life in Jesus' hands, when she started to follow him. And we can feel scared of how we're going to have to change or of how other people are going to react to us, what's going to happen around us if we make this decision to meet with Jesus. And it can hold us back from really opening our hearts and encountering him. But you know, this morning, we don't need to be scared as we look ahead. Because just look at what the resurrected Jesus offers us. I want to take a moment and show us three things that come out in these verses. This is what Jesus is offering to us this morning, and we can receive it right now. Number one, he offers us new beginnings. In verse one, it says, it was the first day of a new week, and it says it was early dawn. Dawn was breaking. And that's no accident. It's no accident that Jesus rose on the first day of a new week. And just as the light of a new day was breaking out into the darkness of the night. Because it had been a long dark night, hadn't it? A long dark night of the soul for those disciples, for those friends of Jesus over the last 2 days. They'd watched him get arrested, be beaten and tortured. They'd watched him suffer and be put to death on the cross. And at worst, the reason they did that to him was because he said some things that some of the religious leaders just didn't like. He claimed to be the Son of God, and then he released the power of forgiveness and healing to prove it, and they didn't like it. They put him to death. And as his good and perfect life was crushed and extinguished on the cross, so were the hopes and the faith of many, many people who'd started to put their trust in him. And they were in a place of grief and anguish and sorrow and disappointment. But this day, this resurrection day, was a new day dawning. It was a new beginning. It was a day that was going to bring comfort and joy and victory and fulfillment to people. A day of resurrection life that would never, ever end, but that would carry all of us who will receive it into an eternity with Jesus. That's what this new day was all about. And the resurrected Jesus, this morning, here and now, he offers us new beginnings. Maybe you need a new beginning in some area of your life, wherever you've experienced a dark night of the soul, sorrow or grief or pain or disappointment, there's a new beginning when we encounter Jesus. There's a page that turns. Hope and faith can reawaken. Darkness will flee and get swallowed up in his life. He offers us new beginnings, but he also offers us freedom from heaviness. And this is something that the Lord really put on my heart for some of us here this morning. I believe there are one or two or three or maybe more who have really known recently a heaviness settle over your life. Maybe you've walked with Jesus for a long time. You know him well. He's a good friend of yours. You serve him. He's your Savior and Lord. But still, there's a heaviness pressing in. And you know, in verse 2, it shows us that when those women arrived at the tomb, they found that that heavy stone that had blocked the entranceway, it had already been moved out of the way. And in the same way, this morning, Jesus wants to shift and lift the heaviness that has settled over some of our lives recently. Even some of us who've known him and walked with him for a long time. If you've been walking under a heaviness, if there's been a weight on your spirit that's robbed you of joy and freedom, Jesus is in the business of lifting and shifting heavy stones. He did it on Resurrection Sunday. He wants to do it for us here and now today as we encounter him. Let's be ready to let him lift the weight off our hearts and lives. And finally, for this morning, Jesus offers us his supernatural life and power. We've already talked about the power of his Holy Spirit, but just like those angels who stood outside the tomb, Jesus wants to break into our everyday lives and pour out his Holy Spirit upon us day by day by day, so that we live not just in the pattern of this world, so that we walk not just in the way that the world walks, but that we walk with a new rhythm inside us, like that song that we were singing earlier, so that the rhythms of heaven, so that the rhythms of God's heartbeat start to beat within us, and we walk in time and in tune with those, and we find as we do that life is full and life is bigger and expanded and stretched out in front of us. It is not just consisting in the material stuff around us, but it is consisting in the joy and the freedom and the salvation that Jesus brings. And it's the kind of life that bubbles up from inside and pours out and blesses other people around us. And just like those angels at the tomb, Jesus wants to pour out his Spirit into our lives to help us day by day, to bring us direction, to bring us guidance. They told those women where they were to go and what they should do, to point us in the right direction when we're going off track, to help us when we're looking for comfort in all the wrong places in our lives, and we know we're turning to the wrong things. The Holy Spirit wants to come and bring supernatural life and power into our lives so that we can be free from those things, free from addictions, free from bad habits that we continually fall into, that make us feel ashamed and guilty and under the pressure and bondage of those things. Jesus, as we meet him this morning, wants to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit, and he wants to bring the truth alive in our hearts, and he wants to send us out into the world around us so that we're overflowing with that joy and that wonder of knowing him, so that we can share it with others, like some of us were doing on the streets yesterday morning. We can share it with others and be a blessing to those who are around our lives. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what is available because of Jesus' resurrection. That's the kind of supernatural life and power that he is offering to us to receive today. So I want to finish by saying, wherever we are at with Jesus this morning, whatever's going on inside of you, maybe it's some of those things we talked about in those women's hearts and lives. Maybe it's something else. Perhaps you're not sure if Jesus really was the Son of God. You're not sure about who he really is. Perhaps you feel confused. You've got unanswered questions. Perhaps you feel afraid or uncertain about your next steps. Whatever is going on inside. And whether we've known Jesus for a long time and been walking with him for many years, or whether we're just at the beginning of trying to find out about him, Jesus wants to meet with us now. And he wants to step into our lives in a new way, in a fresh way. And he wants to give us all these good things that we've been mentioning: new beginnings, freedom from heaviness, his beautiful Holy Spirit to empower us. So let's pray as we respond to him now. And I'm going to bring a prayer up on the screen behind me. And actually this morning, I'd like to invite us as part of our response, if you would like to pray this with me. I hope you can read it. I hope it's big enough for you. Some of you might not be able to, but I'll let you have a look at it for a moment. Because as we read these words together, I'd like us to try and make them our own. There's something powerful about speaking out loud our prayers to the Lord and our requests of him. So maybe if you can follow it on the screen with me, you'd like to just join me and read this prayer aloud. Make the words your own. And let's receive what the resurrected Jesus wants to give us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died and rose again for me. Lord, I need a new beginning in this area of my life. Please let your light shine on it. Give me fresh faith to see with new perspective the path you are leading me on. Lord Jesus, please remove the heaviness from my life. Lift the weight off my heart and soul and spirit now. I pray in your name. Give me your joy and freedom. And Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can live the life you want for me, full of grace and goodness. Amen. Amen. Lord, I want to pray for all of us who spoke out that prayer. And maybe there's one particular part that resonates with some of us. And Lord, I pray that right now, by your Spirit, you just move and touch us. Release your power, release your goodness, release your grace. Lord, some of us are looking for healing in our bodies this morning. I pray now that we'd be able to receive your grace, your strength, your supernatural empowerment in our physical bodies and lives too. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you're moving amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let your name.